This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Reality Is. As always, it's Noor, and keeping in line with our previous theme of talking about terrible people in beautiful locations, I had to bring back Kendrick from Reality and Comics 2 with my brother Raheel to talk about The Glass Onion, a Knives Out film. Is it a Knives Out film or a Knives Out mystery? I don't even know.
Who knows? Who knows?
It's an actual mystery whether or not it's called that. Hi, how are you? Hi, Kendrick.
Hi. Thanks for having me. You know what? Because I knew I was coming here, I rewatched it. And I think I enjoyed it on the second viewing more so than I did the first. And I don't know why that is.
Wonderful. I love that. Raheel, how about you? For you, you watched it a second time?
I did watch it a second time last night. And yeah, same thing. So obviously the second time around, you know, a lot of stuff that's going on, so you pick up on it. I think I enjoyed it too. And then I was like, how did I not see that the first time? But I think that's kind of the point of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the movie, The Glass Onion. This is not going to be a spoiler-free recap, but it's not even really going to be like a detailed recap because who the fuck has time for that? but just high level, yeah, this is a Rian Johnson film. It follows our favorite detective from Knives Out, Benoit Blanc, played by the gorgeous Daniel Craig. It follows him to a celebrity weekend in Greece hosted by a tech billionaire named Miles Braun, played by Edward Norton. And Miles has invited his closest friends, who are played by like an ensemble cast of Janelle Monáe, Catherine Hahn, Leslie Odom Jr., David Bautista, one of the sand snakes from Game of Thrones. This other white girl who I was like, you're not Florence Pugh.
And randomly for 3 seconds, Ethan Hawke.
We're going to talk about the cameos. Yeah. And it's a murder mystery. It actually starts off with our favorite Housewives trope, which is a murder mystery dinner, turns into an actual murder mystery. And it's a whodunit, silly, silly good time. Oh, God. Such a good time.
It is.
Now, you both watched Knives Out, Avi. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you like this more than Knives Out?
Ooh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm a really big Janelle Monáe fan. I mm-hmm. like a lot of like projects. I love like Hidden Figures and mm-hmm. That random Amazon show that she was on after Julia Roberts. I don't know what the name of it, but it was a really good show. But I like that too. I like a lot of stuff that she's in. So, maybe I don't know. I think maybe I like this cast a little more than the first one. If they would have just brought Chris Evans back, but he's in prison. So, but even still, I think I like this one a little. I don't know. I don't know. I got to think about that. I don't know.
For a second, I was like, he is?
You thought the actor Chris Evans?
I was like, not my favorite Chris. No, he's not right. My favorite Chris right now. Yeah. I think that this cast was, I think this is a little bit sillier than the first Knives Out.
Yeah, definitely. I think the like the actual central mystery in the first movie is better. I think the actual mystery is better. But I like this movie better as a movie. The first one, there's like a legitimate, like, you know, who's done it, whatever, right? In this one, there really isn't that. There's supposed to be a whodunit, which is what The Weeknd is supposed to be about, but that gets washed away right away. And then halfway through the movie, you figure out that, okay, this is the whodunit. And then even with that, in the first one, I thought that, you know, those characters, like whatever those random horrible people, they were more believable as, or as potential, as a potential people that did the crime, right? In this one, I kind of had Miles kind of pegged from the beginning as being like as a main bad guy. So having said all that, I still prefer this movie to the second one. As a whole movie, I like this movie. I think this is definitely more entertaining. It's sillier. It's so funny. And I like this Benoit Blanc way more because he's just so sassy and so hilarious. It's the best.
Yeah. I think I agree now. I think I did enjoy the second one better than the first one. It felt more playful than the first one, but still like a murder mystery at heart. So I think I did like that more. I think the first one, you're right, it was way more of a like straight up like, okay, we need to guess and figure out what happened with the crime, like all this kind of stuff. I think my only gripe really with the second one is that I think both times I randomly kind of felt the runtime a little bit, because I think I had to do something where I paused. Like, I didn't realize I was pausing like an hour into it. And then when I looked, I was like, oh shit, I've still got an hour and a half of this movie left. Like, good God. Like, I thought I was like almost where they're about to like kill somebody, but no, nowhere near it. That's a little bit of a complaint. But even still, I prefer longer, more what felt like engaging of a movie than like a shorter kind of, you know, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but I think I did prefer the second one more.
The first one was like, the first one was like tighter because it's just like that one location and it's just within the family and it's just this one murder, right? This one is more expansive and it deals with more subjects. And I think the first one has social commentary also. But this one is way, way more social commentary. So,
The first one is just more so about fucked up rich white people, right? This one is like a different flavor of fucked up rich white people. And I think that was interesting and entertaining. I also think in the first one, like, it was pretty sad leading up to, like, it was kind of like suspenseful and dark in a different way. Until a certain point, until you were like, wait a fucking minute, right? And then, like, I think that it kind of takes a turn later on. Whereas in this one, right off the bat, I mean, I'm cracking up. Like, when you have a cameo of Daniel Craig playing Among Us with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Angela Lansbury, rest in peace. Like, that's pretty good. Like, you're like, you know that you're in for a silly good in a bathtub. Like,
in a bathtub. You're in for a silly good time. With a Turkish hat on. A fez, I believe it's called.
Okay. So my number one question for you guys is, when did you figure out that Miles Braun was a moron?
Pretty early, because you know what? When he did that whole like diatribe at the end about him using all the wrong words, every time he said one of those in the movie, I kind of had I had one of those moments like,
In Breathe Eight.
I wasn't, when I heard In Breathe Eight the first time, I was like, In Breathe Eight. But then I didn't think about it. And then when it came back around, I was like, I fucking knew it. That's not a word.
So I figured out right away, like, as soon as we get to his island and he gets up and he's like, yeah, it's from this guitar from what's his name? Did you say it was from John Lennon's guitar or?
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney's guitar, right? Yeah. And just like his whole look of like, I'm just in like a breezy t-shirt with like just some casual linen pants that like, you know, cost like $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. Like that whole vibe, as soon as we got there and as soon as we met this character, I was like, you're an asshole. And then he started talking and I was like, I have watched enough reality TV in my life to know exactly the kind of person you are. And I know that you are a fucking idiot. Because, as soon as he said In Breathe It, I was like, I'm done with you, sir. Like, you're an asshole.
I'm ashamed to say it took me much, much longer than that. Because, so, same thing. When I saw him playing the guitar and wearing those clothes and just being like, oh, I'm just like a chill guy and I just want to welcome everybody in. And this is, and he goes, this is not like an asshole rich guy house. When it obviously is an asshole rich guy house, mm-hmm. you're like, okay, he's a billionaire. He thinks a certain way. But even at that point, you're like, well, he could still be a very, you know, like a smart person who just has some fucked up values or whatever. He could still be a compelling person, right? For me, it was when they're by the pool and he goes on his like diatribe about like, you know, you have to, the system is really what you have to, that you're up against. The system is what you have to pull down, right? The first time I heard it, as I was listening to it, I was like, this is going on too long. Like, this is somebody who's talking way too much. And then when he does like the crossed hands, like middle fingers, I'm like, oh, this guy's a tool. He's supposed to be a tool.
Yeah.
That's what
when
I heard.
When he's sitting in the pool and talking about these guys being the disruptors, I was like, fuck you.
God.
Now, it's really. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Kendrick.
It's really like the moment we kind of find out about the backstory between him and Janelle Monáe's character, he was immediately the bad guy in my eyes. I was like, oh, he's supposed to be this like, you know, easy breezy, beautiful cover girl. But I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm automatically rooting against you. And so to find out he's the bad guy of the movie, I'm like, yep, that tracks. I'm now for that.
He's supposed to be Elon Musk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I would have
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was like the most Elon Musk-y character there could ever be.
Elon Musk. And then also, like, I guess it's supposed to be there's a lot of like rich guys, right, who love to coach you about life now.
Tech guys,
Yeah, like male influencers. They're basically just male influencers that tell you about, like, oh, you're never going to be rich because you eat avocado toast or whatever, right? You know, those assholes. So I think that's what he's supposed to be.
God, it's the worst. What's wrong with avocado toast?
So, I mean, along with the other caricatures on the show, like in the movie, there's obviously Miles Braun is supposed to be your Elon Musk. I feel like Birdie's character, which is what's her name?
Kate Hudson. Yeah,
I mean, she to me was like every single Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like,
she's a wasp.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's she's like a fashion designer, but apparently she gets canceled because of like a distasteful Halloween costume that she says was like an ode to Beyonce. And I was like, oh, so you did blackface?
Right. And she also went on Oprah and compared herself to Harriet Tubman. I think. I'd love to see that episode of Oprah too, by the way.
Like, so we've got that. David Bautista's character Duke is supposed to be like a what the fuck is that guy's name? Who's like a
Andrew Tate is what I kind of associated him with. Well, he's not as bad, but
Joe Rogan, those guys, right?
There's another one. Who's the Logan brothers? Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like those guys. Mm-hmm. Leslie Odom Jr. I mean, I was watching him and all I could think of was Aaron Burr from Hamilton. So that was all I thought of. But
yeah.
I mean, I guess he's not really supposed to be a caricature of another character, but just more so a person who is tied to who's stuck at work, basically.
Yeah. Like,
he's not allowed to say no. I mean, we knew that as soon as we met the character in the lab. They're like, hey, you got to tell him he can't do that. And he's like, I can't. And then Catherine Hahn, who's just good at everything she does.
I just love her. God. Agatha's the best.
Agatha's the best. She just I've loved her since she said she wanted to roll up John C. Reilly's character and put him up her vagina in Step Brothers. I just love her. I love everything she does. So I love how good she is at like just being a frazzled white woman. Like she's just so good. So who's your favorite character on the show? God, I keep saying the show because that's what I'm used to talking about. Who's your favorite character in the movie? And was it because they were the best like actor in your opinion also?
Ooh, I think character, I don't know. I'm always kind of you know, leaning towards Catherine Hahn, no matter what it is. I just love Catherine Hahn and stuff. Kate Hudson, I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would, because it's really just kind of, I feel like now, especially all of us, you know, being online, anyone that has a social media account knows the person that's like always that close to getting canceled permanently, because like for saying something stupid or sharing something stupid. So like that character was really, really, I feel like we all know that person. Mm-hmm. In a lot of different ways. I really enjoyed Janelle Monáe too. I just kind of like the whole, I like that twist of it, because I really wasn't expecting that at all. So like I loved her playing two entirely kind of different roles in this, and it was enjoyable for me. I'm shocked that like Batista has come so far. My dog is like killing me right now, but I'm surprised that Batista has like come so far with his acting, because I really enjoy him in a lot of stuff that he's in. He wasn't my favorite in this. Like, I didn't, you know, have anything against him or anything, but I'm always kind of shocked when he plays a role so different than the one he played last, because you always kind of expect, like, the wrestler-turned-actor to always play a certain kind of role.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly shocked with a lot of people in this movie. The only thing, I'll tell you what character threw me for a loop, was the one we were supposed to, for some reason, know was Blanc's husband, and that was who was that? Hugh Grant.
Yeah. Yes.
Were we just supposed to know that? Because you know everyone making a big deal about, oh my god, he's gay, and you know he's married, and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, is that how we were supposed to know, by him answering the door and being covered in I guess so. I don't know. Maybe the implication was that he was baking a cake.
I don't know how. Yeah, I mean, either they're gay or they're just together. Like, I mean, how else are we? Why else would two grown men be living in an apartment together?
Right.
One's making like a sourdough starter, and the other one is like in a bathtub playing.
Just like this. That. Do you remember that like big Star Wars controversy where they kept like saying like, oh my God, we're introducing our first LGBTQ characters. And it was like just those two people in the background that hugged. That's kind of what it felt like to me. I was like, like, okay, step forward, I guess. But all right.
Wait a minute. Didn't, what's his face? Kiss a guy? What's his name?
It was supposed to be like Oscar Isaac and who's a John Boyega, I thought was like where it was leading to. I think what everyone thought it was leading to, but
No, it was
people kissing in the back.
It was just two. I believe there were lesbians in the third one, and it's not even like a story. You just see two women kiss each other,
literally,
and you're like, oh my god, oh wow, come
on. Groundbreaking.
Yeah. I hate people. Like, why? I don't know. I thought that cameo was really fun and exciting. I thought my favorite character in this entire series, Knives Out and also Glass Onion, is obviously Daniel Craig.
Yes, like, of course.
Benoit Blanc is just, I'm the type of person, that loves to know the ending as soon as possible. So the thing that I found so satisfactory in this movie was the fact that like he shows up and he just like cracks the case twice, like so easily. And he's just so like, it's just so obvious to him. And I just enjoy the way he breaks it down. Like I love the accent. I love all of it. That was my favorite. What about you, Rahil?
Yeah. So obviously not counting Benoit Blanc and I forget Janelle Monáe's Andy, I guess. Yeah. Andy and her sister. I forget what the sister's
Helen.
Name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're obviously the ones that you're rooting for. So I like them. But Kate Hudson's character made me laugh probably the most. She's hilarious. She's terrible. And then on the rewatch, I realized how good Edward Norton is. Like, on the first time, you're like, okay, I'm buying that he's just a billionaire. On the rewatch, you see, like, all the subtle stuff that he's doing, right? Like, the first time he sees Andy when she comes off the boat, and you're like, oh, you realize, oh, it's because he thought that she was dead because he killed her. Right, and then it's just like how he plays that whole thing, and how he was really, really good.
Yeah,
agreed.
Do you think that this movie is a murder mystery or more of a social commentary about the people that they're supposed to be caricatures of?
It was almost hard to view it as a murder. It felt more like a social commentary. It was almost hard to view it as a murder mystery because nothing in the movie like leads you towards that way. It's like, okay, I'm going into, you know, quote unquote, a Knives Out mystery slash film. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet. We never checked, but one of those things. And so we knew, I guess, going in that we should expect a murder mystery, but I didn't know when we were going to like start kind of piecing stuff together. And exactly. So it happened kind of so more than halfway through the movie that it's like, oh, well, I've been like commenting and noticing other things now to where I almost forgot that this is an aspect of this movie. Mm-hmm. A delightful, you know, surprise, like me remembering like, oh yeah, this is a murder mystery movie. Like, okay, great. Let me get back into that mindset. But it's not something that I like when I turned it on, I almost forgot after 15 minutes. I was like, oh shit, that's not why I'm here to watch this. Completely forgot. Okay.
For me,
same thing there. Like, especially on the rewatch, I realize I'm 45 minutes in and there's, at that point, there's no murder because the mm-hmm. fake murder that was supposed to happen has been completely foiled. They're just hanging out, right? And at this point, the only thing that I've gathered from the movie, like the things that have been sticking to me, is the social commentary stuff, right? And by the end of it, that stuff really, really kind of hits home because the emotional component comes in afterwards, right? So you understand mm-hmm. this is about sisters. And then, you know, when Janelle Monáe, that first meeting with Benoit Blanc, and she says that, you know, if I show up and I start asking questions, it's different than if you show up and you start asking questions. And that at that point, I was like, oh, so that's really what he wants to be talking about. I guess Rian Johnson, right? This is what the movie's about. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, because of everything that's happened in the last 3 years, we're going through the pandemic. But along with the pandemic, everything that's happened post George Floyd and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that it was just really, really well done the way that they commented on that. And that's the stuff that I'm probably going to remember the most about the movie, because the murder mystery really isn't a murder mystery at all for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. And mm-hmm. I think like, again, because this is also supposed to be set during a pandemic, like this is supposed to be peak 2020. One of the things that I was reading was that the reason why the invitation was to Greece, to the special island, is because I don't know if you guys remember, but in 2020, the Kardashians had like a private island party that they were like, oh, it was just our closest friends, but it was like a fuck ton of people. It was like everybody. And so it was all supposed to be sort of like in line. And so I feel like right off the bat, you're meeting these people and they're going to a special party. And you know right off the bat what kind of person David Bautista's character is. You know exactly the kind of person that Kate Hudson's character is. Mm-hmm, so you're mm-hmm. like already tuned into sort of like judging these people who are extremely accessible and extremely online. And they are the people that I feel like, especially in the last 2 years, have like blown up in our like worldview, because they are so accessible, because they are, we're all so online. So to me, it was like immediately a mm-hmm. social commentary on all these things. And then I do think, yeah, of course, like the sisters part of it was like great too. I thought they had these like little snippets of like things that you could tell was like a copy of something, like not a copy of something, but like they were trying to mimic another ridiculous thing that happened in real life. And one of my favorite moments was when they're talking about the sketch, right? The piece of tissue that is supposed to have the idea, the initial idea that mm-hmm. Andy is trying to sue them for. And, you know, they can't find it, whatever. It goes missing, the napkin. And then they say like, oh, well, suddenly then Miles came out with his own napkin, and they show a picture of him holding the napkin. And it is Elizabeth Holmes in her little pill from like, you know, whatever. What was the name of that company?
Theranos.
Yeah, Theranos like little thing. So it was just like so funny. It was just hilarious to like see that same thing. But I think the funniest thing for me watching this movie is, it's funny and it's sad, right? Because like, I'm the type of person where like I see somebody like Miles Brown and I'm like, immediately you are a dumb fuck. Like immediately you are a person I should not trust. But you watch this and you realize how easy it is nowadays for people to be so like easily glamorized by mm-hmm. these types of characters, and somebody like Miles Brown or fucking Elon Musk or Andrew Tate and all these pieces of shit. So like, that stuff was funny and sad. like I was like, this is so funny and haha, but like, oh no, these people are real.
you know whose character I thought that about, and it wasn't in a negative way, it was actually kind of a positive way. It was Whiskey, because obviously she's supposed to just be like this blonde bimbo girlfriend of this guy, right? And then even if you think about, oh, she's just in it for the money, she's sleeping with Miles or whatever. But then when she has that conversation with Andy, you realize that she's smarter than she lets on. Like, she's actively being dumber because she knows that this is how she's going to be. This is how she's going to advance in this world, right? So she's really leaning into that. So I think it's just about like, okay, we know that there's a lot of big famous people nowadays that put out an image of themselves and they want you to buy an image of themselves. But we know that it's bullshit, but we just go along with it. Like, that's how Elon Musk has been. Elon Musk now is viewed as how he's viewed. But, you know, you go back like 5 years, most people thought that he was just this brilliant messiah type of character, right? When there were you know, indications all along that he's just a jackass, right? He's just a jackass in the right place at the right time. So the social commentary bit, the one that really stuck out to me was the scene when Janelle Monáe is destroying those things, right? When at the end, when she's, that one really, really stood out to me because she starts off breaking stuff, right? And then the other people get excited and they start cheering her on. And they're also like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And then they join in, right? And then they stop because for them, it's just performative. For them, it's like, yeah, everybody just get on board. And then the music dies. And then all the other background noise dies. And she's still breaking stuff because to her, it's not performative, right? She is actually frustrated, right? And then, you know, just remembering what happened after 2020 when initially, when there were these, when there were the protests and there was like damage and people were talking about rioting and all this other stuff. Initially, a lot of people understood and they were like, yeah, this is what we should do. Cheer on, cheer on. And then people just walk away from it when it stops being fun for them. But for a lot of people, it's not about it being fun. Sometimes you just need to break shit because you're frustrated. And their awkwardness is delicious to me because she's like, fuck your awkwardness. I'm going to continue to do the thing that I need to do to make myself feel better. So
yeah, it's being uncomfortable for like performance. It's like performative, uncomfortable conversations, right? Like we've been talking about having uncomfortable conversations for like 2 years. And there's the people that like had them, but then like now they're like, I mean, I'm done. Like that's, and then it's like the people who are really interested in doing the work are still having those uncomfortable conversations. They're still continuing on. That's a very, very good point. So there's a lot of cameos in this movie. And I think the first one we got was Hugh Grant. The first one we got was the Zoom call, right? Where I know it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Angela Lansbury, and then who else was in there? It was somebody else.
Natasha Lyonne, right?
Natasha Lyonne, that's right. I love her.
I don't know who the other one was, though.
I think it was the fourth person, too. And then you had, you had Hugh Grant, and then you had Ethan Hawke, who was... I love this. I love that they had like this vaccine. They're like, yeah, you're not going to need your masks anymore.
The rich people have all of the good stuff and we have nothing.
You had that. And then I didn't know this until just this afternoon when I was like looking up a list of cameos in the movie. You know, the hourly dong?
Yeah.
The sound of the dong was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He just like really? He did the song of the movie. It's just so silly. I love it.
What a random credit to have. I love that.
I know. I loved it. What was the one that shocked you the most? The cameo that shocked you the most?
Oh, easily Ethan Hawke, because I literally didn't recognize him at first. And I'm like, I said to myself like literally three times because I just like watched this man in Moon Knight, like a Marvel TV show. And so like seeing him do like a 2 minute cameo in this movie, I was like, I literally had to ask myself about three times. I'm like, is that Ethan Hawke? I had to ask myself three times until I finally paused the movie and then looked. I'm like, no, that wasn't Ethan Hawke. And they're like, yeah, that's Ethan Hawke. I literally saw an article that's like, yep, that was Ethan Hawke in Glass Out. I'm like, oh, well, look at there.
You know what's funny about Ethan Hawke is that I regularly get Ethan Hawke and Edward Norton confused. And so really? When he showed up, I was like, oh, is that the guy? Is he that Miles? Then it wasn't. You guys just there to administer vaccines in people's
faces. Can I say something very embarrassing?
Yes.
I, for some reason, like I, you know, obviously I equate all of these people, you know, we know who they are in real life. I didn't put two and two together that that was Edward Norton literally until we started recording this and you said Edward Norton was Miles. And I was like, oh shit, yeah.
Original Bruce literally, Banner, hello.
Right, Bruce Banner, American History X. I'm like, oh shit, that was him.
Fight Club?
I don't know, the hair threw me off. I don't know. People cannot change their hair for me. Like, I will not recognize you. Yeah. I'm literally like, Clark Kent, Superman, he would have fooled me. If he had his glasses on, I would not have known that was him.
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell white people apart, Kendrick. It's fine.
It's like the Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney guy. I don't know which one is which.
No idea.
Right. No,
no idea which one is which. No. Yeah. First of all, your names sound exactly the same. Yeah. So I have exactly. No idea. I have no idea.
Same person to me. It's okay.
Exactly. Real, do you have a favorite cameo?
I gasped when I saw Hugh Grant. I was like, oh, this is Hugh Grant.
Like, I wish, I know that this was a Netflix movie, but I wish that I could have seen this movie in the theater too, because I feel like I would have loved to be in the theater when that showed up. Because you know, everybody would gasp and clap. Like, I love that moment in a movie theater too, when that happens. Like, that's why I love watching the last Spider-Man movie. Like, I saw it three right. times in a movie theater just because mm-hmm. I enjoyed the cameos. So, God, I loved it. So there was a lot of like background stuff that I don't know if you guys noticed, but was there anything in particular? Because like Miles's house is absurd.
Jesus.
But there was one thing in the background that I could not take my eyes off of, and I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but there was a mural of Kanye over the dining table, like as Jesus maybe, or as an angel of some sort.
I did not notice that.
It was so good. I was like, I kept telling my husband, I was like, it's Kanye. He was like, shut up. I was like, no, do not see this Kanye. It just,
I'm looking it up right now. Like, I need to see this.
Yeah. So was there anything like that? There was anything, I guess, real, you call them accessories. Like, was there a particular accessory or like a thing in the background or like something that the character wore that like was a favorite of yours and so silly? And
well, so all of Benoit Blanc's outfits are immaculate. I love all of those things, right? But especially the pool outfit with like the shorts and nice. The scarf. So amazing.
Also, how is that man not gay? Like, I mean, come on.
We should have known from the first one. But my favorite accessory was Kate Hudson's mask when she walks out, because you immediately know who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an exact copy of Lana Del Rey's mask.
There you go.
That she wore in the year 2020. So yeah. There you go.
I love that.
Yep.
I loved it. Was there a particular scene or line that like you kept thinking about even after you watched this movie?
Ooh. You know, you can't go wrong with ooh, Halle Berry. That's
Oh, I forgot to mention one of the cameos, Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah. That was actually hilarious. That scene made me audibly laugh in this movie. Yeah. If I were a celebrity, I would absolutely, because you hear about all the time, like these musicians who like will just randomly fly to like, you're like, oh my God, so-and-so's doing a concert in Dubai. They got paid $1 million for a birthday party. And it's like, oh, that's okay. Wish I had $1 million for that. But you hear about it all the time. This movie feels like that a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You
know, I think the most suspenseful moment in the movie is, I guess it's tied to one of those real life things or real life references, which is Jeremy Renner's hot sauce.
Oh, yeah. Which is hilarious.
And when it's like trickling down and going to her nose. It's on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, honestly, that was the great. Most shocking. That was the most like nerve-wracking scene of the entire in the entire show, or sorry, movie.
I did love that she, at some point, Janelle Monáe threatened Jared Leto's kombucha. I don't remember what she said, yes. but I remember that line audibly made me laugh. Yes. And he absolutely is somebody that will come out. Does he have a kombucha line?
I'm sure
he does. I feel like he does.
Yeah,
I feel like
he does. It was Jared Leto's hard kombucha.
Yeah. Like, what even is that?
Do we ever find out what the stoner guy is doing? I can't remember. Is nope. like, no, right?
Just
I
there.
Love that. I love that he's just like, he's just there. It was just so enjoyable. My favorite, one of my, the scenes that I like, the things that I haven't stopped thinking about is I just thought it was so funny. And I feel like this is, I think about allergies a lot because I've got kids. And so like I think about, and then they have friends and stuff. So like, mm-hmm. like I have a niece who has like a severe nut allergy and an egg allergy, right? So like the line that just like stuck with me was David Bautista saying, "Duke, don't dance with pineapple." I haven't stopped thinking about it. I don't know why. It just, it comes up in my head from time to time and just puts a smile on my face.
Kendrick loves pineapple. For anyone yeah, that cares.
Exactly.
The scene that I keep remembering a lot is when he's explaining, when Benoit Blanc is explaining how dumb everything is, and then Kate Hudson goes, "So dumb that it's brilliant," and he's just so frustrated. He's like, "No, it's just dumb."
Yes, which again, like, ties into this whole thing yeah. of like people nowadays truly believe that that kind of stuff is brilliant. Like,
yeah.
And that is the problem that we're under. By the way, I looked up the cameos, and I feel like people are going to get upset because the fourth person in the Zoom call was Stephen Sondheim, the like Broadway. Producer who's like done, I mean, I'm not a Broadway girl, but I know a lot of people who listen to us are, so I don't want to be offensive to people. You think he just passed away also recently, right? Did he do oh. Rent? I'm like I'm an asshole because I don't know.
I don't either. Rent.
No? No, he didn't do Rent because they made a movie about the guy who made Rent.
Yeah.
And it was,
oh, yeah.
It was,
Andrew Garfield, wasn't it? Oh, no, yes. I'm about to go to the wrong, okay.
Yes, exactly. Okay. No, he did a lot of other stuff. Oh, like Sweeney Todd. Okay, he's like a big deal in Broadway, and we're just complete assholes. Anyway, that was him. Yeah. Anything else in the movie that like you just loved or like stuck out for you? Just what made it so enjoyable for you guys?
I will say, I'm a little nervous for like installments 3, 4, and 5 because I don't know the direction that it's going to go from here. Because I feel like this was like the perfect amount of like, you know, okay, we got to the big reveal. Then it became a whole like plot, you know, as Wendy Williams would say, a plotation and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was still like very, you know, zany and kooky, very fun. But I'm nervous that like it's such a departure from the first one that it might get even more, you know, more, what is it, jumping the shark in the third installment and fourth. But I'm excited to see where it goes. I think that both of them were good enough to keep me invested, like, in this trilogy. Like, I didn't dislike either one of them. I really enjoyed watching, like, both of them because they assembled such cast. And I think that's part of the fun, too, is seeing, like, who actually gets cast in these movies. Because you're like, man, literally anybody in Hollywood, like, any of my random favorite actors, actresses, musicians, former wrestlers could actually be in this movie and me not know it. So I feel like I would need the third one. I need Regina King.
Yes.
I need, who else do I need? I need, I don't know.
Give me like John five Cena. People that you would put in the next Knives Out Glass Onion installation.
Just super clustered random people. I'm putting in Regina King. I'm putting in John Cena for some reason. I'm putting
because you're
in,
thinking wrestler,
right? Sure. I'm not, and I'm not voting for The Rock, so John Cena gets my vote. Beyonce, because duh,
she can't have a Beyonce. Comeback for her.
I know,
into
right?
Television into the silver screen.
Oh right, they've got to wait. She's done, you know, with the Renaissance tour, but she'll be free after that, so she can do that. You know, you can't have Beyonce without Blue Ivy, so she can be in it too, and. I don't know who. I feel like I want someone old. Give me like a oh boy, I was about to say someone that just passed away. I want Sarah. Give me like a Martha Stewart, someone super random that we just would not expect at all.
Who are you gonna say that passed away?
who was it that just, I was going to say Barbara Walters, and I was like, oh, no, 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 can't do that.
No, whoops, we can't do that.
Nope.
No, whoopsie. We can't.
And that's, you know, it's funny I said, yeah, Martha Stewart, because I literally, when I told my sister the news, because I was like, oh my God, Barbara Walters dead. My sister's exact response was, oh my God, who's going to host the show with Snoop Dogg now? And I was like, this conversation's over, so I'll just I'll see myself out. Thank you.
She confused her white people. It happened.
She did. Okay, it happens a lot in my household. So,
Rio, who's in your next Glass Onion installation?
Yeah, so I don't know if I can get five, but I'll watch Oscar Isaac in anything.
Oh God,
so, yeah.
Throw him in there. Throw Florence Pugh in there. Oh, who else, God, is a fun, yes, person? I just want fun people.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do I like? Charles Barkley. Like, throw Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley and Snoop Dogg. Let's throw them both in there. Yes. Snoop Dogg is fantastic. I love Snoop Dogg so much.
Yeah, and give me one more person.
Someone we'd never expect.
Yeah. Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I want a Glass Onion with like Meryl Streep. Okay, let's just Meryl, uh-huh, Streep. Let's do fucking Zac Efron with his, ooh, new face.
Oh God!
Let's do.
Don't get me started.
Talking about the mystery.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery. Yes.
To your face. Yeah. You know, obviously, put Zendaya in everything. Let's throw her in there. Let's throw Issa Rae in there. I miss Insecure. That was one of my favorite shows. Let's do that.
Yes,
and. Let's put in one of the sex workers from
White
the
Lotus. Lotus. Yes.
You want Mia, Lucia or Mia?
Give me Lucia.
Give me Mia. I want to see how her music career is going.
You are really invested in her music career.
Yeah.
You know what? While we're at it, why don't you put the Rocco in there too from the White Lotus?
There we go. I'm watching that movie. That sounds like a great movie.
Oh my God. Yes, exactly. I segue into White Lotus is that I've made my husband start watching season one because he never watched any of it. And it's season one. He just like, it was just like casually, I was like folding laundry while he was watching in our bedroom. And then of course it like zooms in on Steve Zahn's balls and he's like, what the hell? And I was like, this is nothing.
This is literally nothing.
There's so much worse stuff that's good. I mean, not worse, whatever. It's just other shocking stuff that will happen. Don't worry about this.
Worse smelling, you'll say.
Oh my God. Any other thoughts, you guys? This is such an enjoyable movie. I almost called it a show again. Oh, you know what? You know what? In the next installation of Glass Onion, please add Chris Pine in there because I'd like to see him in anything. He's okay. Another Oscar Isaac type where I'm like, put that silver haired bastard in anything. I'm loving it.
He has a random movie. I think it's called The Contractor or something like that. That I don't know why. Literally have no clue, but I feel like it was straight to DVD too. But I've seen it like 19 times and I couldn't tell you why. Like it's a recent movie. Like I think it came out last year and I've seen it like 19. Like every time it's on Showtime, I'm like, well, I'll watch this. And I think Chris Pine just has an effect on people, I guess.
I unfortunately did watch Don't Worry, Darling. And he's.
Same.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
So I made the mistake of going to the I fell into the hype. I went to the movies to see it.
You paid money
I for paid it. Money to see it. So by the time it was over, I was like, yeah, I could have saved that. I could have saved that money. Yeah. Now, had I first seen it on HBO Max, it might have been a different experience. But like having paid for it, I was like, I don't know about this.
You want to talk about being shocked at the length of a movie.
Yeah.
Not when I paused at all. That same thing happened with me where I paused and I was like, oh my God, we have 2 hours left?
Right.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Goodness.
Yeah. And so we watched that. And then recently over the Christmas break, my husband randomly started catching up on Jack Ryan. And so he watched the first Jack Ryan, the second one with Chris Pine. God, he's so delicious. Chris Pine and what's her butt from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies? What's
Keira. Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley in an American accent. No way. That lady has the most British face I've ever seen in my life. She's an American doctor. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's very good.
I've watched that movie like three times. It's so bad.
It's so bad. It has what's his face? Kenneth Branagh
as a Russian.
Offensively Russian. Offensively Russian.
I think we're okay being offensive to Russians at the moment.
At the moment, we're fine. But you know,
I think we can all do the accent.
Yeah. It definitely is one of those things where I was watching and I was like, are Russian people going to be upset about this? Because, like,
right.
I was like, but they're white. It's fine.
It's all right.
Rahil, any other thoughts about The Glass Onion?
No, I really enjoyed it. I do get your concern about when it's going to jump the shark. I think this one gave us a different side of Benoit Blanc. And I think part of it is because he has like a cabin fever, right? In the beginning. So he's like a little bit restless. And I think he isn't as careful as he is in the first one. Mm-hmm. But it also shows like, I guess more of like the humanity or the human side of him, which I thought was lovely. Because he's not, you know, he's just, he knows what the right thing to do is. And then the way that he goes about it, it's just really nice. So I think there's more sides to him that they can explore. But the one thing that it definitely did for me is like, I trust Rian Johnson to do whatever the hell it is that he wants to do. And it's making me rethink that second Star Wars also, because the other two were shit. So he did the best that he could do. So,
yeah. You know what? I think now that you know, kind of say that, I think we probably don't have to worry until it gets to like, a Knives Out like 10 maybe, like when you get to like the Fast and Furious numbers, then it's like, okay, we probably have to worry a little bit, because like, now they're about to go to space and it's like,
exactly, Knives Out in space, I'm out.
Exactly.
Oh, you're not out, Rahil. Don't get him started with Fast and Furious. He is dedicated to the family.
Are you?
I have 10 movies worth of, you know, of hours into this fucking thing. I gotta see it all the way through.
There
Salute
you go.
Me, familia.
I respect it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think really you bring up a good point about Benoit Blanc, but also that he is goofy and silly with these people on this resort because he is playing a part while he's there because he thinks they're fucking idiots. Like, he's literally like, I can't fucking believe I have to deal with this shit because I'm trying to help this nice teacher, Helen, solve the murder of her sister, you know? So I feel like that was also part of his scene, because he's like, you guys are the dumbest fucks I have.
Yeah, he is like, these people don't deserve my patience. I just need to. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I need to make sure that they have a bad time.
Exactly. Well, my disruptors.
Yeah.
That's it. Listen, Kendrick and I have a very important thing to do tomorrow. Okay, Jen Shah is getting sentenced.
Oh.
So we need to get our rest.
Yes.
I need to get my 8 hours.
I literally might rewatch the documentary, the Hulu documentary, to get ready for it.
Yeah, I've never watched an event. That one. I watched the Erica Jane one.
She is such a crummy person. Such a crummy human being.
Well, to give you an overview of who she is.
I know. She's a Utah lady, right?
She's a Utah lady. Yes. She's actually a Hawaii lady, but also a Utah lady, married to Coach Sharif Shah, who is he's an assistant coach for some football, like college football team. And she came on the Real Housewives of, you know, this is a mystery. This is our own Knives Out, except it's not a mystery. You know how Benoit Blanc is like, these people are being dumb fucks in plain sight. Like, this is exactly, Jen Shah is like exactly the type of person that they are trying to make fun of in the movie, because she chose to be on a reality television show flashing her money while actively running a telemarketing scheme and like showed her business partner. She would like let them film while she was like, quote unquote, working. And then the feds arrested her. They showed up at filming and they found her and arrested her. And now she pled guilty and she's getting sentenced tomorrow.
It was a riveting episode. Riveting episode of television.
That was probably that was the peak of Salt Lake
City. Oh, absolutely.
And then it's
absolutely
been down since.
It's absolutely been down
since. Yeah. So we've got a lot to do tomorrow. So.
Oh yeah.
We got to get our rest.
The bigger mystery to me is, I've talked to Kendrick now 3 times, and he's an absolutely lovely, lovely person. But I am just noticing a Cowboys hat and a Cowboys banner in the background. And I would just like to know how you live with yourself, sir.
We're going to have to take that offline.
I know. I'm dedicated to all forms of trash, okay? I admit, we're having a good year, but yeah. I stick to them. Oh, boy. It's rough some years, but yeah. This is an okay one. Now, I don't know. It doesn't shock me that this year, when we're having such a fantastic season, that's the year that someone chooses to put out that picture of like Jerry Jones and like early civil rights, like blocking someone from coming into school. I'm like, yeah, that tracks. That's about right. I expect that.
Yeah. Answer for your person. Okay. Jerry Jones is your guy.
Okay. Oh, boy.
There's nothing my husband loves more, because, my husband is a diehard Eagles fan. There's nothing he loves more than pointing out all of the ways the Cowboys are bad for your soul.
Yes. We like, only for the longest time.
Yeah. He's like, as a person of color, it's just like fucked up for people to root for the Cowboys. I'm like, you need to relax.
For the longest time, he literally only, like, you would read a headline about like an athlete going to jail for like a long time. Like, oh my God, they got this happened or gotten dropped by this team. And like, I always knew, I'm like, oh, we're about to pick them up. Like, they're about to be on the waiver wire. We're about to get them. And never fail, Cowboys always pick them up. I'm like, yep, that tracks.
Yep. It's the worst people. The Panthers guy. Oh my God.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, we could do this football talk forever, but we're going to wrap it up. Kendrick, please tell everybody where they can find you.
Of course, you can listen to me on all of the platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, all of the places, Reality and Comics 2. Follow me on Instagram at Reality Comics 2. That's T-O-O. Come for the podcast, stay for the memes.
That's right. Real, is there anywhere people can find you?
The quick check in North Brunswick is undergoing construction, so I will, until further notice, I will be at the Wawa in Edison.
And you're still looking for roaming orgies, correct?
Roaming orgies, yes. I've expanded just from Central Jersey to some parts of North Jersey also.
All right, great. And I will be back later this weekend to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, unfortunately, and Real Housewives of Miami.
There you go.